Good evening. My name is Patrick Just. I'm the Executive Director of Student Services for Rockwell ISD. I am also the chairperson of the School Health Advisory Council, otherwise known as SHAC. It is 5:04 p.m. and we are getting started with tonight's meeting on May 17th, 2023. If the members would please identify themselves.
Kim Pugsley.
Nicole Smithers.
Amber Woodfield.
Rebecca Stewart.
Thank you. Let the record show that we do not have a quorum this evening. So anything that we do tonight will not be voted on at this meeting, but we do have some presentations from some people in our district. And so we will get to that. But first, just so those of you all that are visiting just have an understanding of what we do. At our last meeting, we had a presentation from Farah Branson, who is the Director of Family and Advocacy Community Engagement for the Rockwell Child Advocacy Center. One of the things that she presented was a program about the Monique Burr Foundation, looking at bringing the Monique Burr Foundation to our schools to talk about Jenna's Law, Aaron's Law, and then they would be presenting with volunteer community members from our school on our campuses. Ms. Smithers talked about the local wellness triennial assessment, or the local wellness and the triennial assessment. We are currently working on that. That information is collected, and we'll share that information with the SHAC at a future date. And then I just provided information to the committee about the requirements that the state of Texas has for counseling. 80% of the counselor's time has to be in direct counseling services, which includes child abuse report. Which includes everything directly related to the student. Testing would not be one of those things. Lunch duty. Those types of things are not considered, so 80% of their time has to be doing direct activities related to student and their counseling needs. Talked about child abuse reporting, mental health, substance abuse, youth suicide, and dating violence as well. There was nothing requested for future topics, and then the meeting adjourned at 6:02. So with that being said, I will not call for the approval of the minutes because we don't have a committee. Dr. Pugh is going to provide some information tonight on the Curriculum and Instruction Department Coordinated Health Programs. We have an update on what we hope to do in our district.
Yes. So, good evening. Thank y'all for taking the time.
Please share with the community.
Yes, I will, definitely. The health takes to be implemented in this school year. We have been working on updating our coordinated health program. And so this is per Education Code 38.013. The coordinated health program provides instruction related to the following standards. So you see four standards there. There's actually five. The fifth one is parent involvement, and we kind of put that at the very end as just to show a different way that we approach that at Rockwell ISD. But so focusing on those four standards listed, physical health education, but includes programs designed to prevent obesity, cardiovascular disease, oral disease, and type 2 diabetes. Mental health education, including education about mental health conditions, mental health well-being, skills to manage emotions, establishing and maintaining positive relationships, and responsible decision-making. Substance abuse education, including education about alcohol abuse, physical education, and physical activity. So we really are really focusing on 6th through 8th grade with this because we've already been having a coordinated health program. We've been using a resource called Catch in elementary school previously. So Janice and I are both more of an elementary kind of people, so we are very familiar with our elementary. So we wanted to really focus on this layering in for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, what we're doing for the coordinated health program, and we're doing this through our PE classes. So we, in Rockwell ISD, we write all of our own curriculum, and we do use resources But we work with teachers to determine what health standards we will use that are related to these four areas. And then we will Janice will work with other PE teachers to figure out, okay, obviously we're doing physical education number four. That's pretty much ongoing. But things like very specific health, you know, when are we going to talk about cardiovascular disease, preventing cardiovascular disease in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, she'll work with the PE teachers and create like, okay, during at this time in the year, we're going to talk about it, and then what resources do we have to support that instruction? And so we're going to be, TEA has actually put out a group of resources, and we use CATCH in elementary school. It's this coordinated approach to child health. So we are purchasing the CATCH for middle school, and we're going to be putting it into our PE curriculum. So some of these things you can see, like managing emotions, we already have that in elementary school. And then there's very specific lessons in CATCH for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade that we will kind of look through and figure out what lessons we'll use in our curriculum. I was just noticing as I was looking at this, we do talk about substance abuse, obviously, in elementary school, but this program that we were looking at had 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, so like understanding and substance misuse, those are some specific lessons that are in the CATCH program, and it talks about the differences between medicine, prescription medicines, that kind of thing. So
the misuse of
both of them. Right. And so those, and using substance abuse vape free, is there's specific lessons for 6th grade and there's specific lessons for 7th and 8th grade. And then there's this avoiding substance abuse is focusing on 7th and 8th grade. That's in their curriculum. And so then we would take it and kind of work it into ours as, you know, age appropriate for our middle school.
So, Dr. P, you said that we are purchasing CATCH. We're not implementing CATCH, right? We are going to use CATCH as a resource.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
To build our own curriculum.
To build our own curriculum. Yeah. Because also, you know, our PE teachers, we really want to work with them to get that buy-in. We're implementing this coordinated health program in our PE program. So, where do things fit in? And you know what's going to be the best flow for our district. And then at the bottom, these are just some activities that we're already involved in that have that, you know, that health programs with that parent have that parent involvement piece as well.
And I'm just going to add, Dr. Reed, that lessons are made and developed the curriculum to incorporate with, right? It's they're bite-sized lessons is what they're called. So. It just looks different than a traditional class, if that makes sense, right? Because they will all work together with their PE teams in order to align the curriculum. But make sure they're getting what they need.
And it's important that we, in Rockwell, we write our own curriculum for a reason. We can control it. We know what's being presented. We look at our community standards, we look at all those things to make sure that the things that our kids get are appropriate for their age, number one, and then that it's appropriate for our community. When you start looking at things that are canned and you buy those things off the shelf, you really have no idea, which is what we love so much about WIN and what we love about the Monique Burr Foundation and our Child Advocacy Center, is that they have the same mindset that we do. We want to make sure that our kids are protected. We want to make sure that you know, there are reasons that parents are on this committee is because they represent the community. They represent the things and the standards that we want for our kids. And so having that as a resource, but writing our own curriculum is important to us in all aspects of education. So we're not, again, taking a vote on that tonight. Does anybody have any questions, even from the audience? Do y'all have any questions about Dr. Pugh's?
still there. And so very, I love the parent involvement. It's so awesome. But, you know, specifically for WIN or with CAC, as we're coming to y'all as partners too, trying to think of how to support some of these financial decisions, because we know our school districts are stretched really thin. Even with Catch, some of these modules are things we have. And it's similar to CAC, they're so personalized. Is there something where are you able with Catch to, maybe I want these three modules, but I don't need to purchase these three because we already have that accessible someplace else?
Right.
And just how we, and I'll speak for Farrah too, how we can come partner with you and really tweak it within your soundbite that you have, fit those time pieces. Those are all things that I know we're very eager to help you with, just to minimize you having to do some of that heavy lifting, and more important, not having to use some of your critical dollars on something you may be able to access someplace else.
Yeah, that would be, I think we would love that, just to partner with you. We do have to use some sort of approved resource for this. This is not as expensive as other programs, yeah. I think, because of that. It's a 501c3 actually that does this.
Perfect.
But I definitely love the idea of, if y'all are already coming into the school doing a lesson,
yeah,
including that in the curriculum, or kind of in our plan is like, okay, we know that this is happening,
right,
so that it's just another layer of support.
And frees up your PE teachers' resources and not having
and time.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Right. I mean, you know, the resources,
no,
they're stretched, right?
I love that idea, and I know the teachers would probably appreciate it too, because this is going to be new for them.
Right.
And so we're going to work really hard on making them feel comfortable and knowledgeable. I mean, not that they're not, but, you know, just something new that they've not really done before in middle school. And so, yeah.
So the purpose of the chat. Oh, yes, sir, go ahead.
I was going to say, too, I think it's important, as a mental health professional, I know how difficult it is for people to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And having opportunities when they do arise, you know, back in the day, it used to be, you know, what I was trained was that teachers are your frontline staff. They're the ones who are going to refer kids for care and stuff. And with my wife being a teacher, you know, she I was like, I said, so when you see these kids that, like, ADHD and stuff, you know, you're telling their parents, she's like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so knowing that there's opportunities that arise, are you looking to incorporate your school counselors to be able to very quickly come in,
yes,
and follow up with kids that have questions that maybe a, you know, gym teacher or a PE teacher might not feel qualified for? Because I know even within the medical fields that nurse, you know, a lot of medical nurses don't feel comfortable even asking questions like, do you ever talk about herpes?
Right.
And they want to punt that. So I know, just something to think about.
Yeah, so we have a very robust system called MTSS, multi-tiered systems of supports, and starting at the classroom level, which we call tier one intervention, whenever teachers or administrators begin to see issues with the student academically, behaviorally, or socio-emotionally, we begin a referral process. And through that referral process, there are interventions that are put in place. It's where we decide what programming we need. If we have a lot of kids that are struggling with vaping, if we have a lot of kids that are struggling with suicide ideation, that helps with programming, those types of things. And then as those interventions begin to work, then those students maybe fall off and they're not getting the support they need. But if they don't work, then we have tier two intervention, and then we have tier three intervention, which tier two and tier three our counselors are involved with. We have district level counselors that are involved with. Nicole and her team are involved with that. And so we really, to the kid, it's just an inverted, it's a pyramid. Tier three or tier one is everybody.
Yeah.
So every kid is basically a tier one kid. And then the numbers start to diminish as you get to tier two. And then our smallest group is tier three. And those are the kids that need the most intervention.
It might benefit to provide some additional training for, you know, when you literally are having your teachers talking about mental health things, is that sometimes that's the right time is right then when they start talking about it and say, hey, let me go get the school counselor. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But being able to have them ask some of those questions, and maybe, you know, there's certain tools and, you know, PHQ-2 or PHQ-9 that they can ask certain questions to help identify, you know, risk and even abuse questions and things like that might come up.
Yep.
But just something to think about.
No, absolutely. One of the most we do a lot of training in our district, but probably the one that we have gotten the most positive feedback over the last couple of years is youth mental health first aid. and where we have teachers that come in and said, oh my gosh, I had no idea how to talk to a kid. I had no idea. So we're offering 3 sessions of youth mental health first aid this summer, district-wide, for teachers that want to come in. And so as we slowly begin to get people, you know, it's 30 kids, it's 30 individuals at a time. That's part of the problem, because it's limited to the space, to the number of participants.
That's exactly actually what I was thinking about with mental health first aid for some of these.
Yeah, that's already been part of our programming. We probably have 250, 300 people district-wide. 2 years ago, every counselor and every administrator in the district went through youth mental health first aid. We did a session every month, starting with counselors and administrators.
What about the PE teachers?
That would be a good thing.
So,
phase in PE.
Summer staff development. We have 2 sessions, ma'am. If you want to direct your PE teachers to take a look at that, that'd be a great place to do that.
We can also make a plan where over time we can get that too.
For them as a specific group, because I think maybe what they see or hear in a gym might be different. You know, it's just a whole different environment.
I just think if they are the ones leading the curriculum, that there's an opportunity there to provide additional resources for them to get them comfortable, because not everybody's, there's reasons people don't become mental health professionals.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, they're squeamish, or I'd rather not know.
I don't want to know. Right.
But I think there's opportunities that if a kid starts talking about it, that sometimes that right then and there, that kid's ready for help to be able to access it and know what to do in certain circumstances, besides going, hey, let me talk to the teacher later this week. So the counselor goes, whatever crisis they're in may have, you know, baited, we might miss that window.
Yeah, missed it for sure. The Jeff Landers presented at our first SHAC meeting this year. And Jeff, what is he now? Okay, so Jeff was a fantastic resource through Women in Need and presented all over the place in our district. So between Women in Need and the Child Advocacy Center, our hope is that we will present as a committee to the school board, and we will have those 2 resources approved by our school district to come in and provide kind of this whole overlapping system that includes the mental health, that includes the physical health, that includes all of that, so that we have not only Rockwell ISD resources, but we have people in the community that are also coming in and presenting and helping, sending that same message.
Excellent.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Dr. Pugh, very much.
Thank you.
And then, Nicole, we're going to give a quick update on substance abuse and prevention update, or substance abuse and prevention.
Sorry.
You're all choked up.
So I think just it's hard to turn the radio or TV on and not hear about our opioid crisis and fentanyl bringing its deadly issues with that. We've watched this issue for a long time. Like, this is not necessarily a new issue, but it certainly is becoming a greater issue for kids. I think probably there's been some students, Carrollton Farmers Branch, ISD has had some issues. So looking at that again, we have made a proposal. My department's made a proposal to implement naloxone, and we would use the nasal spray formulation. So naloxone is the medication that reverses an opioid overdose, which would include fentanyl. So it could include, you know, OxyContin or heroin, or, I mean, it will reverse those types of drugs in an emergency, in case there's an accidental overdose of that. So we do already have legal policy framework for that. It's in FFAC local, if anybody is inclined to go read that. So basically allows, through the Health and Safety Code of Texas, for any person or organizations, and that includes school districts, to act under a standing order from a medical provider. And we do have, I've spoken with our medical advisor, and he is 100% on board with writing us a standing order for this safety feature that we can store and use a opioid antagonist, Narcan, naloxone. Narcan is a brand name provided to a person that we suspect is experiencing an opioid overdose. So that is the plan. There is some financial impact to the district. Purchasing a 2-pack is about $50 to $60 through the vendors I have. Not terrible, by any means. There are some organizations that are providing it free, but it takes a while to get it from them. So we just wanted to present this to Shaq and get your feedback and thoughts about this type of safety program, how you as community members and as parents feel about.
I love it. I give it to every one of my pain. You know, we have to go to the PMP of Texas and we monitor their NARC scores, and every single one has that prescription and knows how to use it. It's great.
You know, it I'll knock on wood, because there has not been an incident in Rockwall ISD to my knowledge. I'm sure there have been in Rockwall. I know there have been in Rockwall County and certainly in our neighboring counties. But we know every day that we have kids that are taking things that they don't even know what they're taking. And so as a result, we want to be prepared for that. And so this committee, when we have a full committee, we'll make a vote on this to determine if we were going to take it to the board. And then the board ultimately will either approve or not approve it. But because of our committee and the parents and everybody else on it, we wanted to bring it to y'all first and to y'all first before we take it to the board. So,
well, you know, this age range, it is the number one killer. Mm-hmm. It's not car accidents. It's nothing else. It's overdose.
Yeah, it's frightening.
And just to help those that don't even know they're taking it.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
That are being subjected to it that they don't know.
Right.
You don't have to take it. You can just touch it. Somebody might have something on their backpack that they have at home. Somebody could be touching their backpack and just overdose on it.
Yeah, one of the things.
Even if you don't know, you know, like, obviously this is not as common, but they've detected it on aspirin. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just on, like, what I think is oxy or looks like, you know? I mean, it's, like, it could be anything, so.
And one of the things Nicole had to educate me on is, you know, what if you give it to somebody and they're not it doesn't matter. So there's really no harm or foul if you give it to somebody that is not experiencing an overdose.
I should have brought me a little. I have another trainer. It's a seizure med, but they work the same. So they're a little one click nasal. Looks like a little nose spray, hold it, put it up in, and it clicks up in. You'll hear it. They're very audible, and that's the dose. One side of their nose. You know, it's not having to inject it in a certain muscle or here or there or expose a leg or anything like that. So it's super easy. I think the only mistake you can make is thinking, oh, should I prime it? Because if you prime it,
and
that
you've
was
used,
it.
Used it.
it's a one click and it's over. So if you click the thing and then it's gone. So
also one dose.
Yeah, and then you just throw it away. So.
Each dose is $50 or $60.
A two pack.
Okay. So you get two doses.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And just to educate myself, how fast does that work?
Fast.
Very fast.
Okay. Like
seconds.
Okay. I was going to say from the seizure piece of it, because our son has seizures, almost instantaneous.
Okay.
And I would, it's a similar type.
The device is similar.
Yeah.
Entirely different drug. But the device, and I'm like, I don't have a Narcan demo, but I do have like Valtoco and Baqsimius. It looks a little bit different, but yeah, there's several. There's a diabetes one that's, everything's going nasal, which is exciting. And
so we're out of injectors. All the injectors are good.
They don't have nasal epinephrine. I wonder if they're working on that.
I'm sure.
I haven't read anything about that.
I've not heard about that.
No, I don't know. Like, but that would be the only other. Because everything else, like the glucagon, is now nasal, so that's to reverse a severe low in somebody that has type 1 diabetes, where they're unconscious and can't drink their juice. And then there's two different seizure medications that are now available in the nostril. It's the same little, it's easy to use, easy to carry, small, and it is good.
All right, so when we have a full committee here, we will revisit these things and then make a decision whether to take those to the board. And unless there is other information that you guys need, anything else that y'all need, I will close the meeting at 5:29 p.m. Thank you all for coming, and I don't remember the date of our next meeting, but I'll get that to you soon.
Yeah.